If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello there and welcome to a brand new episode. Welcome to the Savage Situation Podcast. Me, Adam Savage, and my man Ian Chambers is back in the house.
How's it going? It's been a while. Mate,
it's good. I feel really good right now. Like, do you know what it is? I think it's because spring is coming. The sun is out. There's B vitamins going into my face.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been reborn.
You know what? It's It just brings about, and I know it's a generic thing to say, but it just brings out an entirely different energy in me, bro. It brings out a different beast. Because when winter hits, I think I'm always ready for it. By the back end of the year, I always start to think, right, I'm ready for those winter months. I like the whole festive vibe. I like the chilly evenings, getting wrapped up, putting my hoodies on. But then there comes a point where I start to put on a bit of a podge, and I think, the only reason I'm able to get away with this podge is because I wear hoodies every day and it masks it, right? And then when the sun starts to come out, I'm like, okay, man's got to start putting in those yards again and hitting the gym again. And that's what I'm back doing. The sun's beaming down. We're about to have like a good run of like 19 degree days over here in London. So I'm feeling good about the summer hitting or the spring hitting, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know where we are in the seasonal calendar.
Well, I know exactly where we are right now, which is Ian.
Yep.
And Savage, Chambers and Savage are finally going to meet in person this week. And it is going to be fireworks, baby.
You know
OMG.
You know what, right? I imagine that a lot of you listening will have had those sort of friendships that blossom like online, especially in today's day and age. It's something that just happens all the time, isn't it? Like, I've had so many friends who have never necessarily even met. They met on Xbox Live parties back in the day and they become really tight or whatever. And me and you look at each other's mugs on Google Meets every single time we record this podcast. So we've been doing it for weeks and weeks and weeks now, months.
Have we been doing this? I think we started doing this last July time. And here
we
are.
It was last July. It was while I was away.
Last July.
It was while I was away.
Yeah, and now it's March. We are only a few months away from it being a year of talking to each other over the internet and never actually meeting each other.
You know what?
That is mental.
And these webcams are generous. So what I need to do is I need to make sure that I moisturize the shit out of my face for the next week.
Mate, mine's got every beauty filter going and then extra added downloadable software I pay a monthly fee for to increase the blemish removal. I'm that in deep. You're going to see me and go, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, volcano face.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be good. You know, because I remember you were part of the journey of me saying, "Oh, I'm going to pack up shop and move to London," and you backed it. You said, "I'd love it." So far, I am loving it, and the fact that we get to have our big coming together and night out in
London,
in the big city, is going to be pretty cool, isn't it?
Big smoke. It's going to be amazing. I think that's one thing I think is actually very telling of the entire, I guess, industry. Come back to games here for a second. Obviously, to esports and things all the time, but for you guys at home, you're probably back into kind of full swing of things work wise now. Gaming world is the whole live event space is kind of getting there now. The things are popping off and you've been really busy recently. And I've got a few things coming up where I'll be at live events. And I think people are kind of coming together now. It's not just the video, the virtual broadcast stuff. I don't know how, I mean, I'm sure it will still always be there.
Yeah.
But there's this kind of element of like, everyone's kind of going, shall we go to a studio? That sounds like a bloody good idea. And everyone's like, yes, do it. Let's do it. Because obviously budgets are back. People are ready to rock and roll. So mate, it's very telling that this is kind of the time, the spring, the new season, the rebirth of the flora and the fauna.
Yep.
And of us meeting.
It's going to be great. And you know, to touch on that whole people coming together thing, I imagine that, you know, those of you that watch like live esports broadcasts, you will see the difference of like the energy in the room and the energy of the broadcast completely when the people are together in person. Like I had a you know, weekend of live broadcasts with a crew this past weekend. It was the VRL, the Valorant Regional League for Northern Europe, to create a path for some of these teams to make it into VCT. And it was once again that feeling of just the organic energy that is just spread between you that you cannot have on an online broadcast. And I think that applies to every single job. Like a lot of my friends back home, when I talk to them, they really miss that camaraderie that you get by walking into an office and you've got John over there who says, do you want a cup of tea or whatever as soon as you walk in the door? And but it's funny, isn't it? We all took it for granted for so long and now we're starting to get it back. And I think we're all starting to go, oh, right, it is actually, because it felt so wrong to be around human beings for so long, for obvious reasons, you know, you're spreading a viral disease, I guess, right? And now,
yeah. But that thing. But, I forgot the that pandemic. Thing.
But, you know.
Which is basically like, you can go away now, like abroad and stuff, and not have to kind of fill out those forms and stuff. It's kind of mad.
But it's like, there was a point where I would be around someone and I'd feel guilty. I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. But it's like, it's nice that we're able to start coming together again, feeling that energy of being, you know, it's what we're here to be. It's what we're here for, isn't it? It's to build relationships, friendships and all that stuff. So it's quite nice.
And for all of our lovely listeners out there, do you know what? I think for you guys, like the last episode, we just talked a ton about like rising up the ranks in this kind of weird and wonderful world of esports and gaming and stuff. I think it's really interesting that you know, there you can see now as well, like, you know, there's lots of little kind of, you can see these different kind of esports companies and production kind of entities popping up now and starting kind of new leagues. And there's lots of, I mean, mate, the games at the moment as well are literally blowing everywhere. There are so many games right now. This is one of the first times in a very long time that I can honestly say I've got too much to play.
Mate, I bought a new game. And I
what did you tell me?
WWE 2K22.
Oh my god, it looks great,
bro.
Looks good,
right? The first ever like wrestling video game that I truly fell in love with was WrestleMania 2000 on the N64. Straight after that, off the back of that, was WWF No Mercy for the N64, and it was really cool because I bought it really early, as soon as it came out. And I put it in the console and I started playing it. And then there was this huge recall of the game because it had a fault on it. So everybody who had the game, you had a dodgy version and you had to send it back. So I had to wait after playing it for like a week and just falling in love with this video game. I had to send it off to get
that's mental. What, in the mail?
Yeah. Imagine that now. Like obviously now you just get a patch and you get an update sent out. Back then it was like, you get like this message. I can't even remember how I even got that news to come through, but it was like, you have to send this back. And I was like, what? This is the great, but anyway, ever since then, look, there've been some amazing wrestling video games over the years, like for the PlayStation, like the SmackDown games were all banging, a lot more of a fast paced in comparison to the THQ N64 games back in the day. But then like WWE 2K games got really formulaic and boring, and it became that thing almost like FIFA. Look, I love FIFA, but any game that comes out annually, you buy it and you're like, oh, well, this is a little bit different and the graphics are a little bit better. And I've never been a big fan of like yearly games where you have to pay, you know, a big whack to get it's very similar to the previous installation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas WWE 2K, they are 2 years out the game and they've come back with brand new system, brand new feel. Everything feels like different, new, refreshed. The roster is unbelievable. You know, you've got all the old legends on there as well, like Austin, The Rock, Taker, all these guys, and it plays really nicely. So I've been having like triple threats with my brothers and stuff like back in the day, and some of these matches go on for hours and you can't get the pin, but it's great, man. WWE 2K22, I can't sell it enough. It's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I've seen people are posting like left, right, and center online, like, you know, just kind of saying how great it is to play a wrestling game. I think that's, it says a lot, doesn't it? Like the fact that you got a game or a company like 2K who've made big time sports games for a long time anyway. Mm-hmm. But you got a game, you got a company who've gone, do you know what? Let's take it back a step for a second here and give ourselves a bit more breathing room here. Give us a couple of years rather than churning out a game every year. let's try and really work on you know, reworking the entire system. And obviously it's delivering the goods, but that's why I like the fact that Call of Duty is doing exactly the same thing. Assassin's Creed did it with Valhalla as well, which one of the, I think still the biggest selling game on next gen platforms there's been thus far. And I think that's a really good thing. I think sometimes, despite the fact wanting to make games and make money, the games that do come out year on year don't tend to do that well, unless it is something like FIFA.
You love things more when you have time to miss it. It's as simple as that, isn't it? You know, the greatest franchises of all time. Think about your Grand Theft Autos. Think about your Legend of Zeldas, your Super Mario's, your even Red Dead Redemption. Like, I loved Red Dead Redemption 1. By the time Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, I'm like, oh man, like this is what? There's a second one coming out? And then that was my life for forever. And like that those windows and gaps, it gives the user and the consumer time to really miss it and long for getting back on it. But also you just get a product that is just far beyond what it would have been if they'd have churned it out year on year on year, right?
You wonder as well, like because I think the announcement's been made now that GTA 6 is coming out, right? That's a thing that is definitely happening, which is freaking crazy.
In 4K,
because everyone's been waiting for this.
4K, all the bells and whistles on your on your next gen consoles, man. And thinking about the AI of just people wandering the streets on these new consoles, it's going to be crazy.
I remember, I think was it 2012, 2013, like the GTA 5 came out. And I remember back in the day, dude, we're talking about like old school, like starting out. I remember going to Game, the store in Stratford Westfield, and being there for the midnight launch. Remember midnight launches of games?
I love them.
And there was a line going down the block, and my job was to kind of go and interview people who were waiting in line.
Oh,
to be like,
nice.
GTA 5's coming out. How you feeling? Everyone was just like, yeah, I'm so hyped, bro. And everyone was like, you know, kind of saying what they were going to do with baseball bats and animals and people. Yeah. It was pretty vivid, actually. But still, it was awesome. And everyone was so like excited about it. And when you were talking about like about N64 a second and the cartridges, I miss the time of buying physical games. I mean, yeah,
hugely.
You can still do it now, but like the having the cartridge in your hands and blowing into the needlessly and pointlessly blowing into the cartridges, because let's be honest, it didn't do anything, but still we'd like to do it because it felt like we were doing something.
Yep.
Blowing into the cartridges, making it work, putting in the machine and bang, you're in. That I miss the weight of the cartridges, dude. Like, it was so, there was something, they had to, you just felt the weight of it thinking, oh my God, there is so much entertainment in this. I cannot wait to stick this in its slot.
And did...
Sorry, I mean that was completely legit. I didn't mean to pun.
No, but
out
I
that,
feel
but
that. Was, that's a yeah. I mean, I feel that in many ways. But like when you when you look back on the glory, I call it the glory days. And in my opinion of video games, like I just don't think there's an argument against it in the sense that now if you've got like your Xbox subscription or you've got your PS Plus or whatever it is, you just go on this little screen on your Xbox or your PS. Five, or you go on your PC and you click on a game, comes up, you pay for it, you earn it. That's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back in time, there was a point where I would genuinely go to Game Station, which was a franchise back in the day, or Game, and I wouldn't know what game I was going to buy. I would walk through the door as if I was going shopping for groceries, and I would flick through, and I didn't read any reviews because there weren't any.
Yeah.
At the time.
Unless you bought like a magazine, which was like, you know, who's going to spend money on that when you could just literally pick something that looks good.
Oh, and you'd come out with some absolute shitters. But that was part of the joy, right? That was part of the journey.
Yeah.
You'd spend 50
quid. I bought a game once called Balls. It was a fighting game. We all made of
balls. Balls.
And it was
shit.
Dog crap. Like it was horrendous. But in the moment I thought, fighting games with balls? This is going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, you had the Blockbuster video stores back in the day where you could rent video games for a couple of days as well.
Oh mate. Those were beautiful days. Oh,
of course.
We had this little place called Ritz Video near mine as well.
Yes, Ritz.
Before Blockbuster. Ritz Video. Man, that was the first time I used to rent Super Nintendo games for a week for like £1 and think this is the greatest thing in the life ever.
We're really showing our age here, but it's nice to just give that extra insight of what it was like, you know, because it was special and it was right. Different. And don't get me wrong, I love the immediacy nowadays of how you can, you know, if you wake up one morning, you don't really want to get dressed, maybe you're feeling under the weather and you want to play the brand new Elden Ring game, right? You can hit download. If you've got light speed connection, you could be on it within a couple of hours. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
And you don't have to get out of bed. However, the purchase, and I feel the same way about music, earning CDs back in the day, my CD racks that I used to love, there was something about having physical copies in your possession and you can't beat it.
I know. And I respect collectors of anything.
Me too,
who
man.
Collect
anything.
Collect, like, from Pokemon cards to freaking stamps to game, whatever it might be. If you collect the... Because I know you've got some beauties. You've collected some stuff in your time, yeah. Which is kind of like limited edition. But like to have it a physical copy of something, to cherish it and treat it, like I totally understand that. But yeah, I mean, even like swapping cards. I mean, even at school, like got to the age where people were trading cartridges, like saying, "Oh, I'll loan you this for a week. Let's swap games. Just swapping games.
Do you know
what? So good.
I once gave my mate Matthew Lord, right? And if you're listening, Lordy.
Big shout out, Matthew.
Listen, Lordy. Do you know what, Matthew? He had the ultimate trade and he never gave me it back and I'll never forgive him for this, right? Majora's Mask, gold cartridge. I handed him it. Do you know what he gave me in return for that? And at the time I was like, oh, sounds good.
Go on.
My man gave me Bomberman. And don't get me wrong, Bomberman's decent, but it's not Majora's Mask, is it?
I did not know you were going to go down the Bomberman route. I was like, Majora's Mask, gold cartridge edition for... Bomberman, like the most basic bitch game going. like,
if you walk into a retro game shop now, right? You walk into any retro game shop, you can get Bomberman 64 for 50p. Right? If you want to get Majora's Mask gold cartridge, you're paying 25 beans minimum. And Lord is sitting on that stack right now. So if you're listening, you know where I am.
Freaking
give it
hell,
back,
mate. You know, I want to say they've just added Majora's Mask to the N64 emulator on the Switch.
Yes, and do you know
so
what?
So it's now part of that. So it's apparently it's great. I've not played it yet.
You know what? The thing is, the emulator on the Switch, I'm disappointed by it because it doesn't upscale anything to a different level. Obviously, it plays...
That is whack.
That is whack. Like and if anyone listening to this wants to replay Majora's Mask at its absolute highest form, what you need to do is you need to cop yourself a Nintendo 3DS and get Majora... It's quite hard to get now. It's actually quite rare. Majora's Mask on the 3DS was a remaster and a remake of it in 3D. So like, that's the ultimate way to play that video game.
Okay.
If you're going to do it.
I think it's one of these things where I got to add it to the library list of things I have to play and finish in the next kind of 10 years of my life.
20.
Because there are so many things to get through.
Majora's Mask is hard. Give it 20 years, bro.
I'll give it 20 years. 20 years. Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you actually, you took that one on Nintendo as well. Apparently, I don't know this. Have you downloaded the new tracks from Mario Kart 8? Are they available right now?
So I've been aware this weekend they came out on the 18th. It is now the 21st. So
they are available. This is official. They are out now.
All of the new tracks are out right now. So yes, I am about to download that because.
Oh my God.
What that means is. It's pretty much a brand new Mario Kart. Obviously the same mechanics, but why would you ever want to improve on perfection? Graphics are great in comparison. You know, when you actually look at any other Switch game, Nintendo, they've really made Mario Kart stand out as one of the best. And now you've got all these brand new tracks. So it's time to go, baby.
So what we're looking at here, just to confirm this, just doing some research here, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass DLC came out 3 days ago. We're recording for the 21st of March, came out the 18th. Mm-hmm. So Golden Dash Cup, you get Paris Promenade, the Toad Circuit from the 3DS, Choco Mountain from the N64, and Coconut Mall from the Wii.
Boom.
The Lucky Cat Cup, you get Tokyo Blur from Tour, Shroom Ridge 3DS, Sky Garden Game Boy Advance, and Ninja Hideaway from the Tour. So you got eight new tracks there, two new cups.
Am I right in thinking that if you've got the Nintendo Switch Plus like online subscription, you get it all for free?
That is what I think is the case.
Me too, and I've
got to have. Okay, that's good because you've got. So it says that there's going to be Jesus Christ. There's 48 new tracks coming out.
It's a new game, baby. It feels like a new game to me.
Wow. Mate, and do you know what? This for me is actually a really good point to make as well. This is why GTA 5 has been so freaking bloody good, is because of the fact that they don't keep bringing out a new game. They just reinvent the current mod. They repatch it, make it better, bigger, better, faster, stronger. They've got a base there, like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Just keep adding to that because the perfect system of Mario Kart is, the proof's in the pudding of what it is right now.
And you all
just add to that.
Absolutely. And you also know that while in the same way that, you know, Rockstar with GTA, while they're adding to GTA 5 and while Nintendo add into Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, behind the scenes, they're working on GTA 6. And they're working on Mario Kart 9. Fact.
Yeah, fact.
But this is how you keep people ticking along without oversaturating it.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Because that you know that game developers are working at least 6 months to a year ahead of where we are right now.
For sure.
And I think that's the problem why games like Cyberpunk failed so miserably, is because that buffer that they had was gone.
Yeah.
Because they kept saying to themselves, let's set this date, this one we're going live with the game. And they were never going to achieve that.
Never.
And so you're not kind of making it as good as it can be. You're just doing the best you can to sell something which isn't ready and hoping no one notices. And people freaking noticed. Do you know what I mean? So
absolutely. And then you know what? As soon as we get off this, we need to start downloading, don't we? That's a fact. Because that's a lot of tracks to download.
Have you downloaded the new Fortnite Chapter 3 Season 2?
All right. As a man who is Mr. FNCS right here that I am talking to, I am fascinated to get your thoughts on this. In fact, you know what? I haven't downloaded it yet because, once again, I've been away. But the internet, for me, which was yesterday, the internet, how old am I? Social media lit up.
Yeah.
When everyone was talking about the fact that for a small period of time, I think it's a small window, there is no building on Fortnite.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want me to elaborate?
You elaborate, and then I will give my take.
Okay. So, this is actually a really good jumping off point for a lot of people who have not played Fortnite for a long time as well. Because obviously, as Ian alludes to, I've been lucky to work with FNCS for over a year now, and I'm very much part of the Fortnite competitive scene, which is wicked. But the game as well, obviously I need to be clued up as much as possible on the actual game itself. And the rumors were going round, I think, last week. Obviously, every season the meta changes somehow. Like they vault weaponry, bring new stuff into the mix, like items and for inventories and stuff, and change up traversal, the way you kind of move around the maps and that kind of stuff. And the suggestion was that there was going to be this kind of the no builds element. Everyone was like, "What? Wait. That's such a fundamental part of Fortnite." And they were like, yeah, we're going to go full on Battle Royale, no holes barred. We're literally, it's last man standing, weaponry only. And everyone was like, no way. They've done something really, really smart as well. Because obviously they know that it is a free-for-all now. It's a cover shoot. It's basically Gears of War.
Yeah.
Okay, Gears of War is the meta. And what they've done is they've incorporated these new elements. So you can actually now there's a sprinting kind of like dash mechanic, which you need to power up, and you can vault walls and stuff as well. You couldn't do that before. So you can evade people a lot more easily now because of them taking away the balls, and that's a way of defending yourself. They've now added this element where you can scarper even quicker.
Yeah.
So that it kind of counteracts the lack of builds to protect you. I want to know, because you are a cover shooter extraordinaire.
Yes.
You love, this is you through and through, mate. What is your vibe right now?
I saw all of the hate for this, and I understand it, because your hardcore Fortnite competitive players, a massive part of their artillery and what makes them so good at the game is their building skills and abilities, right? Me?
Yeah.
I'm not a hands-on kind of builder kind of guy, right?
You're no tarper.
You put a strap in my hand, I will click your dome. That is how I operate, right? I called my brother immediately, and we've had this conversation millions of times. The amount of times we've finished third, fourth, second, and we look at each other and we say, if there was no building on this game, we would win all the time, right? We would say it. All we were like, this. If this didn't have... I mean, look, PUBG is... I'm a big fan of PUBG. I think but there is too much time where it's very slow and you're just literally running around trying to figure out what's going on. Fortnite, much more fast paced, much more colorful, much more vibrant. But the building for me, I love it. Don't get me wrong, I massively value and appreciate it. But I always wanted Fortnite to give me the option just so I could see what sort of level I'm at, you know, when it comes to gun skill. And now this is, I haven't played it yet, but this is a real opportunity for me to see if I'm actually any good. And I would like to take on top level. I mean this. I want to be in there with top level players.
I respect that.
I don't mean like your players. I mean like your top level, non-pro levels players.
You're your arena players, like,
yes.
like champion players.
Champion players.
Series. I do you know, I think one thing I've probably played around 7 or 8 games, mm-hmm. just so not too many. And it was a bit of a baptism of fire, because Fortnite is a game where people don't tend to play passively. They can be quite aggressive, particularly in like solos and duos. Dude, it is absolute anarchy in them lobbies right now.
Yeah.
Like people are going hell for leather at trying to wipe you out. And it's like, because I think, because it's one thing being good at building. My for me, building was all about protection. Yeah. I'm not a good builder, but I use it. The moment someone tags me, straight away, bish, bash, bosh, the walls are up. I get a chance to breathe and kind of like position myself. People now are like, just going for broke and just going at you, man, and just kind of like trying to get on top of you and trying to like punish you because you can't hide. But at the same time, it kind of gives you the advantage if you...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Have cover near you and they're out in the open and they've got these new weapons. They brought back the drum shotgun where you can just pummel shot after shot.
Yeah.
You've got like the combat SMGs, like rapid fire. So it is a crazy, crazy time because I think a lot of the thing is people know as well, this is only a 10-day event. This is a short 10-day window where before, because it's all part of the narrative of like the Fortnite's kind of ongoing story that's been woven into the kind of like the battle royale that it is, for any kind of lore fans out there of like Fortnite. But it'd be interesting to see. I presume this is going to be to attract players, maybe like yourself, who used to play the game a lot more before building became such a vital part of like the way the game plays out. And maybe it could be like a playlist that you can kind of like jump back into whenever you want to.
I hope that I like the idea of it. If it does, you know, like if people like me do enjoy it, it'd be nice if they maintained it as an option, right? That'd be cool. You know, like if you want to jump into that playlist, like you say, oh, you can get into non-building games. Okay, let's try that. Like I've always thought that should be potentially an option because there's always going to be enough people on both sides of the fence, right? You're always going to get into a packed lobby.
Yeah. They didn't know. I think when they first made the game, I remember downloading when it first came out. It was one of those free games. Everyone was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. What's this new game? Fortnite, that's weird. And yeah. I downloaded it. And the first part, no, I don't think even Epic didn't know how big a factor the building was going to be, how integral to the USP of the game it was going to be. And without it, people were a bit like, oh my God, this is like an actual last man standing. Let's just go ham and just try and get to the VR. And it is a lot of fun. You have to play obviously a lot more tactically and rotate better, like because obviously you've got to utilize your surrounding areas and stuff and kind of like get the drop on people. But it's kind of nice in a way that people can't rely on building like
it's a get out of jail free card, isn't it? That's ultimately what it's always been. Like you've always got that backup. If you get caught slipping and you make a mistake and find yourself in open territory or someone creeps up on you that you weren't expecting to be there, you can always dip in one way or another. If you've got enough materials, yeah, you can get out of dodge. Whereas I like the fact that you have to think about it. You know, if you're going to go out into enemy territory, you have to think, okay, is there a good chance I'm going to get caught slipping here?
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide now.
Well, they introduced sliding, right? So any mountain now.
Yeah, I love that.
The sliding's awesome because it kind of adds this whole new layer of like how you can get away fast and like get away quickly. But I think last season what was so loved was the web shooters, the Spider-Man web shooters, where you could Spider-Man your way around. So this new jumping mechanic kind of has a bit of that, you know, that propulsion of like when you're going to take off on a web shooter. So you can get out of dodge pretty fast. But I think the most important thing is people will come back, like they will love the parkour, they will love the kind of like, you know, the fact that it is just like a bit of a run and gunner cover shooter. Yeah. I think it just adds a new layer to it. And that's why, and people at first will hate on it. You said like people kind of hate on the fact that it's changed. But if Fortnite didn't change the meta every season, people would just get bored of this game.
And do you know what else? Fortnite are the absolute masters of maintaining relevancy.
Yeah.
Whether they're introducing new skins, they're introducing new play styles, new whatever you want to call it, right? Every single time. Look, the fact that Fortnite, after being how many years? You know,
four years, five years?
People are still just going mad when something like this happens. And it makes people like me, like you said, I'm eyeing that up now going, all right, this weekend, I'm going to have a big Fortnite weekend.
Yeah.
You know, And that's good. It's great marketing. And for people who are thinking, oh, I want my building back, you're going to get your building back.
Yeah.
So just enjoy the ride for a few days. Treat it as a building holiday, right? You don't have to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just... Well, you can just have fun with it.
For the casual player, this is where the party's at. For the pros, that building is a major part of strat and major part of way that you can.
It's like having your superpower stripped away, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, you know, you've got this thing that you do better than 99% of players, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to flex that. And it's gone. It's like, oh, it's your kryptonite. You've had it stripped away, and it's like all of a sudden you're exposed. You're standing there in the middle of the field naked.
Yeah,
that's what's happened.
Well, dude, as well, they've hinted, and this has been a hint for a little bit, but I think potentially there is going to be a Fortnite Back to the Future crossover very soon. Yeah. I'm not even joking. I'm talking DeLorean gliders. I'm talking hoverboards. I'm talking Marty and Doc.
Marty McFly. And are we getting a Marty McFly skin or?
That is the hope. The red gilet, mate. That's what I want. But I do want the Back to the Future 3 Western variant as well. I do want a cowboy outfit, the Clint Eastwood. But also, whilst on this chat right now, just in the news, The Mandalorian Series 3, Christopher Lloyd set to star in it. Doc himself. Not even joking, mate. Not even joking.
The Doc is back.
The Doc is back, mate. That's what it seems. In freaking Star Wars, bro. You thought, this is it. This is Christopher Lloyd, dude. He's like Hollywood legendary status. Just pops into a bit of Star Wars. Can you imagine if you were like in your 80s, as an act, in your grandparents' age, and then suddenly your granddad goes, I've just been cast in Star Wars? You'd be like, what the this is fucking awesome, dude. This is it.
I absolutely love it, though, when legends who... Let's not get it twisted. If you see Christopher Lloyd in anything recently or you see him in any interviews or whatever, he is 100% switched on like he always has been.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he is.
And this is another example, right? Look, I'm sure he is absolutely perfect for this role. But come on, while these icons, these living legends are here with us on the planet, let's give them their flowers.
Dude.
You know... If an opportunity like this comes up, give it to Christopher Lloyd, man.
Give it to Lloyd.
Do you know what I mean?
Lloyd.
Like Clint Eastwood, right?
How old is he now? 100? I don't even know.
I'm gonna Google this right now. This is the thing.
I'm saying 92.
Clint Eastwood, right? Here it comes. Here comes his age. He is 91 years old, right?
Close.
But just think about it. An icon of that magnitude, like. People like Clint Eastwood don't come around. He is your Elvis Presley. He's whatever you want to call him. He's like that level of
an icon.
Megastar.
Icon.
And he's still here. And I know that, like, you know, he stepped out of acting, but every so often there's like rumors going around that he might do this, he might do that. But I just love that these people, as much as we can, it's like with Chevy Chase. Like, I'm like, give the man his flowers. I know apparently he's a bit of an asshole on set or whatever.
I have heard Chevy Chase is a knob.
But I love him. And he's still here. And I just think any of these older actors, if they want to have like opportunities like this and they feel like they can still go, like, come on, just give it to them because they deserve it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm actually going to segue into an opportunity here as well, which is, you know, I love the fact that Christian Eriksen is back in the Premier League, by the way.
Me too.
Because after what happened last summer, the Euros, like, shocker.
I was in Portugal doing a football show, actually.
With Paul Ince, who's coming on the show at some point. It's going to happen.
And we're going to get him on, who is now the interim Reading manager. I think
dude,
he's still
my hometown.
Not
to... no, nothing,
yeah,
but
man,
that.
Your boy is back in the game. And I remember we were all sat watching that. And when it happened, like, that was a fatal incident. Like, let's not beat around the bush. That if he wasn't surrounded by the right people.
Oh, mate.
That was lights out for Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
And, It's actually quite, because I look back at that and it was heart-wrenching for everybody, gut-wrenching. Everybody was like, geez, like this man in his prime has just been just taken away. Like, we all thought he was gone, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to fast forward to now, less than, you know, a year on, he's playing football again in the Prem.
Brentford, mate, he's back. Well,
how?
This is it.
How?
He's just got his call-up back for the Denmark squad. He's going back, mate. Playing these friendlies coming up this weekend. Obviously, this international break this weekend. But one of the things which is
amazing,
amazing. But did you hear about the FIFA debacle with Christian Eriksen this weekend? Have you heard
no,
about
what happened?
Oh, mate. Right, so I've talked to you a little bit about this, right? So for you guys, again, listening, you might be thinking, Sav, you're still banging on about FIFA, mate. I kid you not, right? The age that I am recently, I found another gear, Ian. I found another gear. I feel like I am, I've found the meta and I am abusing it because I'm going up against primed out squads. We're talking like primed out, like daddy's credit card squads that I've been like, bang. Like we're talking like expensive, like Samuel Eto'o prime, R9 prime, every single like,
this sounds like Pie Face's team right here, bro, by the way.
It does, right? Another great guest on the show, by the way. We should reach out. Okay.
We should.
But you've got all this stuff going on with these big players. And I'm bringing my team. Never invested a penny. Never invested a penny. My team is solid, but never got that pack luck that everyone else gets. Holding my own. If not, like this morning, I had a Division 4 game because like the season just reset. I've come out on top with against the top team with an 8-1 victory.
Yo.
And I'm just like, yo, whatever. I just find,
what are you doing then? Tell me what you're doing.
Mate, the formation, get the ball to feet to the front two, have a turn, bang it in. Like that's that. That mean, but
let me ask you, how much time do, because I spend, if I'm being honest, I spend too much time dicking around on the ball. So like if I get into the final third, I will start getting a little bit too tricky,
yeah,
and I'll try and pretty much dribble it in on my own. Like so I'll try and make solo plays.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that's not the way to go?
No, I am aggressive as a unit and I'm my midfield game is on the point because I penetrate defense. Like ultimately I found my formation. For me, four at the back, played two CDMs, two cams, two up top. Okay.
So you're not crossing the ball in, are you?
Sometimes. The main thing I'm doing is I'm utilizing my wingers to get in behind. I've got like winter wild card Tierney, who's like 86 rated, but like the pace is off the charts again. But long story short, I just feel like I'm in a good place with it. But this comes full circle to Christian Eriksen. This weekend, I wake up, and of all people, Pie Face. Yeah? This is mental.
Wow,
this is
mental. What?
Pie Face puts a video out on his shorts, and it's just like, Eriksen, fantasy Eriksen, absolutely broken. And I'm like, what? So I go on, and it turns out that EA have made a catastrophic error. This weekend, all the fantasy teams, the fantasy players came out. So all the fantasy players, like another echelon of like quality, you know, in this way or that way. Fantasy players come out, but every person, there was a glitch. Every person that owned an 82 rated Christian Eriksen Brentford player was automatically turned into a 90 rated fantasy Christian Eriksen player. Right? So now he was supposed to be like an SBC, like a really hard player to pack. They've glitched it so that every single person, regardless of what, has got 90 rated. So I looked through my kind of my I guess like my fodder of crap that I don't use.
Did you have him?
Had him there, ready and waiting. I looked in, 90 rated fantasy Eriksen. He's in the squad.
He's in your squad. Yeah.
He's in the squad. And like, and I saw Pie Face's video. I was like, this can't be real. Dude, it's real, right? So every person that's got it, obviously, mine's untradeable. A lot of people got it as tradables, right? So you have to obviously kind of like, you can actually trade him in and get money for it. And obviously he's gone down, you know, really low in price. But the interesting thing is this, and this is a theory for me. Think about what Eriksen's gone through for the last year. Everything that's happened to him. Of all the players you want to celebrate for being back with us and playing professionally again, of all the players had to happen to, Christian Eriksen, and suddenly everyone is playing with Eriksen again, thinking about Christian Eriksen.
It's awesome.
It's kind of like, is this like a happy mistake? Like, is this a thing that kind of, and is this why they haven't changed it back? Or was it done for realsies on purposes? Do you know what I mean? Because
I mean, either way, I think it's a
I love
a
it.
Good outcome, really. I think it's awesome.
It's awesome. It's freaking great. And
we should all celebrate. We should all celebrate.
It's amazing.
That,
it's amazing. Like, I think that's the thing, dude. Is like, you look at like everything that's happened in the last 2 years, and there has been so much has happened. And here we are. Yeah. We've kind of come full circle as a recording SEO. You and I are meeting up for the first time this weekend. We've got stuff going on. Life events coming back. Everything feels like it's getting like good again. Obviously, there is travesty happening out, you know, in the East, Ukraine and Russia right now.
Yep. And let's not mess around here. Like that is something that we both think about and talk about every day.
Mad. I can't believe
and
it. Really.
It doesn't get any, the thing is, right, in life as human beings, we are very susceptible to becoming accustomed to the things that are going on around us. I've always said a million times, right? If a dinosaur appeared in my back garden right now, everybody would shit themselves, right? And then within 2 weeks, no one would be talking about it anymore. That's just how human beings operate. I'm not saying that nobody's talking about what's going on in Ukraine, but I'm just saying that it's really important that we don't lose touch of how devastating what is happening is, because it goes from being, you read about a bombing early doors and it ruins your day and it breaks your heart. And now it's like another bombing. And you don't want to become numb to it, is what I'm trying to say. So I make a conscious effort every day. The end of about 7 o'clock on the night, I consume all of the news I can within a 15-minute window, because what was happening to me before was I was refreshing my feed every 5 minutes and it was just too overwhelming and there was nothing I could do about it. Whereas, sorry, I know this is a...
I completely get you. And actually, do you know what? There's actually, again, we'll come full circle. There is a way that you can easily support people in Ukraine. One thing that Fortnite, of all things, if you thought about getting back involved in Fortnite or kind of want to play the, you know, kind of get this new mode we've talked about in this episode, I think they're donating every pound, dollar, every bit of money earned from like battle passes and everything for the next 2 weeks of this first season to humanitarian causes supporting Ukraine. Awesome. So that's a full circle. I mean, they want to do it.
It is.
There you go. You can do that. And it goes to those guys, which is
shout out Fortnite
a lot of publishers that are doing their own, you know, finding ways that they can support. I love the fact that gaming, the same thing happened with COVID, dude. Gaming found a way to come together and support people, to help people. And I love the fact that it's kind of like, you know, it's happening again in this instance. I hope it continues as well. But, you know, but before we wrap this episode, mate, any other games you're playing at the moment that you want to shout out?
This might actually surprise you, but a video game that I have been playing. So I'm still really deep into Uncharted. I haven't finished it yet. The game that we spoke about last week, the remaster.
Oh, you really? I didn't realize you were grinding that.
On the PS5. Oh, mate, I'm grinding it.
Oh, shoot, bro. That's awesome. Wait, yeah, are you so all I'm, the game? Or like, oh, it's just Uncharted 4, Thief's End, and...
Yeah. And it's bloody marvelous. I can't even put into words how good that game is. Like, I've always said over and over again, when people say to me, what, you know, people who are a bit older, why do you play video games? I will say, why do you watch movies? So it's take me away to another. Well, I do that on Uncharted, but I control the geezer who's in the film. and it means more. Like, everything means more because I'm the one who makes the decisions. I'm the one who susses out the clues and the issues and the puzzles, and I'm the one who shoots everybody and all that. Anyway, Uncharted is amazing. A game that I am playing at the minute, and I have been playing a little bit, is Simpsons Hit and Run on the Xbox.
Oh my God. What a game, Ian. Whoa. Bro, right?
On a retro TV, so it plays like it did back in the day. Simpsons Hit and Run. It's like Grand Theft Auto mixed with The Simpsons. And if you're thinking, that sounds what? What even is that? It got wild reviews back in the day, like insane reviews. It is awesome. You are Homer Simpson. You can be all the different characters actually from the family, but you kick off as Homer and like you're just running around Springfield as Homer. You can jump in any car you want that's driving around the streets, and you go back to your house and Marge is like, homie, Lisa, like, you know, like Lisa needs you at school to take her this sandwich or something. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, you go get in your car, you drive to the school, you give, and just all sorts of stuff happens. And it plays so well still. So sorry, that's probably the last game you were expecting me to say, but Simpsons Hit and Run.
I not only do I respect the fact that you're playing Simpsons Hit and Run, which is a bona fide classic, it's the fact that you've taken it to another level and you've purposely played it on like a crap telly just to really sink your teeth into the nostalgia of that. I commend you admirably, man.
That's how it looks at it. But honestly, if you're ever thinking about playing retro games, right, if you put that on your new widescreen TV in your living room or whatever else, it's going to look terrible. You play it on the TV it was designed to be played on, which are hard to get, like good quality ones, it looks like a HD game. I'm not kidding.
That's wicked. Okay, I must try that
out. That's how you do it.
To find one of those,
I'll show you.
Heavy-ass glass TVs now, those crap ones.
That's what you want.
I need one of those bad boys. I need to get on a skip or something and find one.
Someone will leave. Yeah, I was going to say, if you walk down the streets of London, you'll find one.
If you guys listening, if you've got any like shite old TVs that are just hanging around a bedroom that you want to get rid of, like, I'll have it. Yeah. I'll trade you.
I will show you my retro gaming setup one day and it'll be beautiful.
Mate, I can't wait. Take pictures, because when I see you this week, I want to look at them direct.
Oh, yeah.
With you.
What, the pictures of what? Or do you mean the gaming? Or do you want Picture me.
Anything you want to show me?
Oh God! Why?
See
that,
you next
why,
week.
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks for listening. honestly, like, guys, thank you so much for listening and chilling out as always. And it's always, but we absolutely love doing this show, and hopefully you guys
love
enjoy it too.
We love it, love it, love it.
It kind of morphs, isn't it? It's like it's a gaming podcast that we kind of just morph into. Let's talk about Christopher Lloyd for a bit, and let's talk about this. Yeah. And I love that. I love how kind of organic it is and stuff. So. Let us know what you guys are playing on social media. Of course, I'm at Adam Savage and on Twitter, and Ian is at Ian Chambers, Ian with an I-A-I-N Chambers.
Thank you. No one ever does that.
I've always got your back, man. Always. Thanks, and look forward to seeing you guys. The next one, I'm going to keep grinding Elden Ring, which has been hard, but I'm into it. I can't stop now. I've started this.
Get back on there. You know, I've avoided it because I know it will consume and control my life. So.
Yeah, there's nothing that gets me going than being absolutely ripped to shreds by some kind of terror boss that I can't look at without being scared and peeing my pants. Right. lots of love. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode. Till then, take care and goodbye for now.